Our lesson today is our attitude. It's about our attitude, and we titled it Taking Life One Cup at a Time. You can get to the end of a conference, I think, and we've all heard a lot of stuff, maybe a little overload at this point, but we've heard a lot and maybe even made a lot of decisions, but none of us have done a thing about it yet, right? We still have the hardest part, which is to go home and do something with what we've heard and the decisions that we've made here. and so I wanted to talk to end today, talking about a lady whose attitude made the difference in her life. I think we can hear a lot from different people, and we're just really good at women about comparing and saying, well, that sounds good and that works for you, but you don't know my situation. Or you don't know my husband, or you don't know my family, you don't know what I live with, and you're right. Nobody knows what you live with. Nobody knows, we don't know what each other lives with. But God does. And I want to talk to you today about a lady in the Bible who had a good attitude and did the right thing when life was tough for her. She did not have a perfect life. She did not have a perfect family situation. Her circumstances were nowhere near perfect. But what God did through her because of her attitude and her willingness to obey in spite of it is pretty incredible. It was a miracle. So let's pray, and then we will get started. Lord Jesus, we love you, and I thank you just for allowing me to be here. I thank you for the safety you've given each one of us in being here, and for the time you've allowed us to create in schedules, and for these last few moments. And Lord, I thank you for your word and the fact that we can just count on it. Thank you for the direction it gives, for the promises we get. And Lord, we come to the end, and we have a lot in our hearts and in our minds. And I pray that you would, through the next few minutes, Lord, use me, and I pray that your word would enforce the things that we've learned, Lord, and then inspire us to actually go home and do something about it. Help us to surrender to you in every area and trust you and live for you better because we've been here this weekend. In your name I pray, amen. Both the hummingbird and the vulture fly over our nation's deserts. All the vultures see is rotting meat because that's what they're looking for. They thrive on that diet. But the hummingbirds ignore the smelly flesh of dead animals. Instead, they look for the colorful blossoms of desert plants. The vultures live on everything that was. They live on the past. They fill themselves with what's dead and gone. But hummingbirds live on what is. They seek new life. They fill themselves with freshness and life. And each bird finds exactly what it's looking for. And the truth is that we all do. Our attitude, the definition of an attitude, is an inner feeling expressed through our behavior. It's an inner feeling that's expressed through our behavior. That's why we can see an attitude before they ever say a word, right? Because it's a feeling inside, but it comes out in our behavior. And my favorite, I think this is my favorite story in the Bible, is about the lady named Jochebed. And she's not the most famous person in the Bible. We only actually hear a short part of her story. She was just an everyday woman doing her best right where God had her. Most of us would know her as Moses' mom. And it's not a long story, but her attitude is what makes that whole story. Open your Bibles, if you have them, to Exodus 2. We'll go back and forth from there a little bit as we go through the lesson. But here's a little background. The Israelites were in captivity to the Egyptians, and the Israelites were growing. They were having babies, and numerically, they were growing. And the Pharaoh, or the king of Egypt, began to feel threatened by the number of the Israelites and the strength of the Israelite people. So Pharaoh made a law, and he said, from now on, when an Israelite woman gave birth, she could keep her baby if it was a girl, no problem. But if it was a boy, then that baby boy had to be thrown into the river. And he thought that this would be an easy way to keep the Israelites from becoming a greater army than his own. And that's where we find Jochebed, living in that. She was an Israelite woman who lived in captivity to the Egyptians, and she had to follow the Egyptian law. And during the time of Pharaoh's new law, she became pregnant. Now just stop right there. Can you imagine the emotions that she carried every day through that pregnancy, as if we don't have enough emotions when we're pregnant? I'm pretty certain that at that time she couldn't have known whether she was having a girl or boy, and you wonder if she begged God for a girl. Just because of the situation she was living in, she probably feared for the life of that child if it was a boy. But in Exodus 2 and verse 2, the Bible tells us that Jochebed delivered a baby boy. That was God's plan for her. And at that moment, you can imagine joy and fear both washing over her. Surely she was thanking God for a healthy delivery, as we all do. Yet she knew that immediately her faith was going to be tested right away. She probably also realized that the rest of her family was now at risk as well. What a responsibility that the Lord gave to her in that moment. But we read on to see that Jochebed and her husband feared the Lord first. They didn't throw their baby in the river, like Pharaoh said. They made a decision to trust God to protect their child. Jochebed's faith was greater than her circumstances. But in verse 2 and 3, the Bible tells us that she hid the baby boy in her home until he was about 3 months old. And then she could no longer hide him. That makes sense, right? They get wiggly and noisy about that time. And I imagine those first 3 months were bittersweet for Jochebed. You're hanging on to every moment knowing it's not going to last. I imagine she spent much time in prayer, begging God for the life of her child and protection and wisdom for what was to come. In verse 3, the Bible says that when she could no longer hide him, she made a small basket out of bulrushes or leaves, and she placed her baby boy in that basket and took it down to the river. I can't fathom what it took for her to put that baby in the basket and put that basket in the river. Many of us in the room have probably given things up, let dreams die, and done things that you never thought you ever could. And it's at those moments that the Lord shows up, right? And I have no doubt that he showed up for her. But she certainly didn't know the end of the story like we know the end of her story. She didn't know what her future held, but she trusted the Lord to protect her baby. And God heard her prayers in a way only God does. He delivered her son out of an impossible situation. We know that it was Pharaoh's daughter who found that baby in the basket in the river and rescued him. So Jochebed's prayer was answered, and her son was saved. And then as an extra special treat, there's a twist on that story that we know, and he blessed Jochebed's faith even more. When Pharaoh's daughter needed someone to nurse that baby and care for him until he was ready to live with her in the palace, the Lord allowed Jochebed to have her son back and for a few years care for him. The Bible even says that Pharaoh's daughter paid her for it. So that turned out to be a deal. When Moses got a little older, Jochebed did take him to Pharaoh's daughter to be her son. But even though Moses spent most of his years in the wicked palace, he spent his life serving God and the God of his biological mother, Jochebed. In Exodus chapter 12, we read the story as Moses led the people of Israel out of bondage and out of Egypt towards the promised land that God had for them. So that's kind of the story in a nutshell. Think back to Jochebed and to those early months of pregnancy, to those early months of hiding her son, those early years of teaching and training every moment that she was allowed to have him at home. Think of all those years of knowing that her son was then living in an evil palace and there was nothing she could do. He was being raised by a wicked family. God didn't use Jochebed because she had everything going for her, right? We all have situations, but maybe not like Jochebed. That seems pretty difficult to me. He entrusted her, though, with the responsibility of raising up his next great leader because she trusted God in spite of her circumstances. So if you're taking notes, we're just going to look at three things today. Number one, Jochebed's attitude was a choice. Her attitude was her choice. In Hebrews 11:23, the Bible tells us that Moses was hid for 3 months because his parents were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now think about that. That doesn't mean they were flippant about this new law, that they didn't care. Her actions to hide him show us that it's not that she didn't care what the husband thought or what the Pharaoh thought. She knew what was at stake. Jochebed and her husband simply feared God more. They feared God first before they were afraid of the law around them. Jochebed had no control of the situation that she was in. The government was much bigger than she was. The baby was a boy. Nothing she could do about that. The circumstances were beyond her control. So how is it that it seems she so calmly and courageously faced this situation? Well, the Bible says, and you know this verse, 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Obviously, Jochebed didn't live in response to her circumstances. She lived in response to God. And when we keep our eyes on him and lift them off of the circumstances all around us, then our fear fades. It really does, because God never changes, and his word never changes. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever. And the same God that saved Jochebed's baby boy from death yesterday is the same God here today who's guiding you and me through whatever we're living in. And he's the same God that's going to be there tomorrow for what's coming. But it's my choice to trust him. My attitude in every circumstances is my choice alone. We've all heard some good excuses. We've probably all thought up some good excuses. I have. Things like, well, if I had a husband like hers, then I'd be able to do that too. Or if my kids were older, then I could. If my kids were still at home, then I could. If I lived in a different neighborhood, I would. If money wasn't so tight, then maybe I'd be willing to do something. If I had more help, then I could. And every time we excuse our behavior based on our circumstances, we're letting our circumstances dictate our whole life. And obviously, there are seasons of life, and we're all in different ones, and there's stages. But whatever stage you are in, don't sit back on the sidelines while you wait to get through it to the next one. Do what God wants you to do right where you're at. Over and over again in the Bible, we read stories of people who were used of God, and most of the time, it was in the midst of very trying circumstances. So I'm not sure where we get this idea, or where I get this idea, that my circumstances have to be perfectly lined up before God's plan can begin in my life or in my family's life. Think of Joseph. His brothers ganged up on him and sold him. He ended up spending the rest of his life far, far from home. While he was in Egypt, of course, we know he was falsely accused of sin. He lost his job. He spent over 20 years in a foreign prison. And yet Joseph's attitude in life was based on his God and never on his circumstances. That's why we love the story of Joseph. Think of Job. After all the trials that he went through, his body was racked with painful sores. He was sick. His riches were taken completely away from him. His children were all killed. Not one, not two, all of them killed. Life got real bad for Job real fast. And all he had left was his wife, and even she told him to go curse God and die. But listen to the choice that Job made in the midst of horrible circumstances. Job 2:10, he answered his wife, and this is what he said. Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? Job made a difficult choice, but he chose, it was his choice, to not let his circumstances dictate his attitude. He chose to not even let his discouraged wife influence him. What you let influence you is your choice. You can choose to be controlled by the world around you. Think about it. If you let television influence you or be your influence, it seems like every news program that we watch is just one problem right after another, right? And if that's the truth that you allow as your influence, then you're going to have a very fatalistic attitude towards life very quickly. What's the use? The world's going downhill fast. What does it matter what I do in my little corner of the world? Jochebed could have chosen that attitude. What's the use? She had the entire Egyptian army against her. How could she protect her son from the rest of the world? We can choose to be controlled by our flesh, by our emotions, and let what we feel guide us. There's a lot of women that live like that. Today I feel like cleaning my house. Today I feel like going shopping. Today I feel like going to church. Today I don't feel like going to church. Today I feel like loving my kids. Today I feel like leaving my kids. Today I feel like my husband's wonderful. Today I feel like I married the wrong man. And we let our feelings dictate the way that we live. We have to be honest and admit that we're women and we're emotional, right? We know that about ourselves. And emotions are real, but they're not truth. They're just emotions. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I'm imagining Jochebed felt some emotions in her circumstances. Obviously, she was a mom who loved her children. She felt emotion. She probably felt like getting angry. It didn't seem fair. She might have felt like picking him up and running away. There were probably many moments she was scared for their life. But the Bible says that Jochebed chose not to be controlled by fear. She chose her attitude. We can choose to let Satan himself influence us. He wants you to get angry. He wants you to start questioning God because of the circumstance that you're in right now. That's what he wants. He wants you to give up. Satan wants you to think that the price for living for God is too great, that it's going to cost you way too much. And he's real, and he's going to come at you any way he can. But let me remind you, and you know this is true, Satan's time is running out. That's why he works so desperately. He's already lost so much, and he knows the end of his story. We know the end of his story, too. We just forget. But he knows the end of his story. And he's going to lose again, and he knows that. And his delight, the only delight he has right now, is getting Christians off track and discouraging Christians. And you have the choice to listen to his lies, and you have the choice not to. Jochebed certainly could have given in to Satan. There were probably many days as she held that baby that she felt very alone. Knowing Satan, he probably discouraged her all sorts of ways. He probably told her that God could have given her a girl. Isn't that what Satan does? He tells us God could have done this differently. And he blames it back on God. That's what he did to Adam and Eve. There's a lot of different attitudes that Jochebed could have chosen. She could have panicked and just thrown him in the river in order to try to save the rest of her family. She could have given up on God. But what would she have missed if she hadn't walked through what God wanted her to walk through? God was nowhere near done with her story. She just had to trust him where she was at. And as you and I read the story of Jochebed, we know she chose right. She chose to live right and do right in spite of her circumstances. She chose the right attitude. And the Bible doesn't take us into their home. I wish it did. We'll have to meet Jochebed in heaven and find out more about her daily life. But he doesn't take us in there where we can study her routine and maybe try to copy her. We do that, and then we take our eyes off God, and they're right back on somebody else. The Bible says in Hebrews that her story, though, is in the Bible for a reason. It's given to us as an example, and it's a powerful one. We get to see the results of a woman who lived in obedience. Moses, who spent most of his childhood in the wicked palace, grew up to still choose her God. Her other children, two children, also grew up to serve her God. What a joy she must have experienced as a mom to watch her three children lead God's people and serve them. And it all began with her, back in bondage, in difficult, if not impossible, circumstances, back in danger, in the day-to-day routine of a Christian woman who decided to do right, to choose the right attitude. And for us, there's many times when we can't control our circumstances. You didn't have a choice in the family you were born in. We really didn't have a choice with the children we have. We don't always have control of our health and in the health of those that we love. We don't get to pick and choose what trials I want and what trials I don't want. But we do choose our attitude. Every time, that's my choice. Sometimes I wonder, how can there be a mom of two who goes through life completely frazzled and frustrated, and then you see a mom of six kids who's just happy and peaceful? And it's all in her attitude. How is it that there are marriages that seem to have everything going for them, and yet they're so unhappy? And then you see families with trials and discouragement and battles that they're facing, and there's such love in their home. The difference is their attitude. It's not because God's grace is greater for some people than it is for other people. That's what we'd like to think. It's easy that way. We can blame it on God. God gave them the strength to go through that, but not me. But he's the same. And we've all got the exact same promises, the same resources, and the same Lord. But the choice is mine. My attitude is in my hands. I read about a Holocaust survivor, and here's what he said about attitude. The last human freedom we possess is to choose one's attitude in whatever circumstances we are given. Coming from a man who had already had every human freedom stripped from him, he realized that the freedom he had left was the choice of his own attitude. I read this: when the fire of affliction draws a song of praise from my life, then God is being glorified. And just like Jochebed, when our attitude is God-honoring in spite of our circumstances, then we've made the best choice, the most important choice. So think back to that definition of attitude. If my attitude is my inner feeling that's being expressed by my behavior, then what am I showing? Maybe the lady sitting next to you doesn't know what attitude you've chosen in your circumstances. But your husband probably does. Your children probably do. Those that are closest to you probably know. And even if you've managed to hide it from them, God does. God knows what attitude you're choosing. And we'll see this later, but our attitude is so important because many times God blesses us according to the attitude that we choose in that moment. When I choose my attitude, I'm often choosing the results. I'm choosing victory or I'm choosing defeat. So what attitude have you chosen? Not what are your circumstances, although it's real, that trial that you're right in the middle of, or that situation that you're walking through that nobody else knows about, it's real. But what attitude are you choosing in that? So Jochebed chose her attitude, first of all, and secondly, her attitude was one of faith. She chose an attitude of faith. Faith is not optimism. I think sometimes we get a little confused with faith. I hear people, and it sounds like they have faith in the fact that they have faith. And it's just this big faith and this optimistic life. My mother-in-law had a very short battle with cancer. She passed away 10 years ago, and she was diagnosed with cancer in May, and she passed away 3 weeks later. So it was a very fast sickness, which, you know, there's many ways to look at that, but she didn't suffer, and we're thankful for that. Didn't suffer long. But to me, those 3 weeks, I watched. My mother-in-law was a sweet, godly lady who served the Lord in church, faithful, raised a wonderful son, by the way. And I have so much respect for her. And those 3 weeks, though, my respect level just went through the roof for her because I feel like I saw real faith. And I learned something about it. Faith is not this attitude of, I can do this, I can do this. This isn't going to get me. I'm a fighter. I have faith. I can get through this. That's kind of weird and kind of self-centered. And yet sometimes we act like that's faith, that we know we can do this. But faith is really believing what God says. And that's all faith is. Faith was when my mother-in-law believed that God could heal her, and she did believe that. She knew he could have. He's the great physician. He can do what no doctor can do. We know that. But it was also her faith that allowed her to say, I know God has a plan. And his ways are higher than my ways, and that's what she said. And in the most difficult weeks of her life, she chose her own attitude, and it was one of faith in God's plan for her. And she's in heaven today, and I have no doubt that she's very, very glad she chose that attitude. I love this verse. Proverbs 14:26 says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. If I could add to that, I would say only in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. I can't trust myself. I've let myself down so often. I continually do. I know I can't place strong confidence in many other humans. We all fail. But in the fear of the Lord, there is always strong confidence. Psalm 118:8 says, "It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." Jochebed trusted God. I read this story about trust. One day, while my son Zach and I were out in the country climbing around in some cliffs, I heard a voice from above me yell, "Hey, Dad, catch me." And I turned around to see Zach joyfully jumping off a rock straight at me. He had jumped first and then yelled, "Hey, Dad." It became an instant circus act trying to catch him. We both fell to the ground. For a moment after I caught him, I could hardly talk. When I found my voice again, I gasped in exasperation, "Zach, can you give me one good reason why you did that?" And he responded with remarkable calmness, "Sure, because you're my dad." His whole assurance was based on the fact that he knew his dad would catch him. He trusted his father. He could live life to the hilt because I could be trusted. That's what his dad said. I'm not sure what happens to our faith as we age, or our trust as we age. You'd think it would grow and be stronger and stronger because of all that we've already seen God do. How many times have we watched God come through in our life? How many times have we already seen him answer our prayers? But yet in his word, the Lord continually points us back to the faith of a child and that we should have faith like a child. What's a child's faith like? It's simple, very, very simple. A child doesn't demand explanations. He doesn't need explanations. He doesn't check and see what all his friends think first and then make a decision. Once a child knows he's loved, that's it. That's all they need. After that, you can give him medicine and they just trust you that you're doing the right thing for them. They don't know what's in that. You can put them in a car and they just trust you that you're going to get them to the spot they're supposed to be. They trust that they'll have everything they need. They don't worry about that kind of stuff because they know you love them. And if only we would live our lives that way as Christians, content and joyful because we just trust our Heavenly Father. He can be trusted. Isaiah 26:4 says, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Are you running a little low on strength? Because the Lord's strength is everlasting. Psalm 56:3 says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Are you trusting in the Lord or are you getting discouraged easily? Are you resting on his promises or are you fighting him every single step of the way? Are you letting God just be God or are you constantly trying to manipulate your circumstances? David, a 2-year-old with leukemia, was taken by his mother, Deborah, to Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston to see Dr. John Truman, who specializes in treating children with cancer and various blood diseases. Dr. Truman's prognosis was devastating. He has a 50-50 chance. The countless clinic visits, the blood tests, the drugs, the fear and pain, the mother's ordeal can be almost as bad as the child's or worse because she must stand by, unable to bear the pain herself. David never cried in the waiting room, and although his friends in the clinic had to hurt him and stick needles in him, he hustled in ahead of his mother with a smile, sure of the welcome that he always got. When he was 3, David had to have a spinal tap, a painful procedure at any age. It was explained to him that because he was sick, Dr. Truman had to do something to make him better. "If it hurts," his mom said, "remember, it's because he loves you." The procedure was horrendous. It took 3 nurses to hold David still while he yelled and sobbed and struggled. When it was almost over, the tiny boy, soaked in sweat and tears, looked up at the doctor and gasped, "Thank you, Dr. Truman, for my hurting." He trusted that the doctor loved him enough, and he knew that even when it hurt, it was done out of love. And ladies, even when it hurts, when Jochebed had to walk that baby down to the river, when we go back to our knees over that prayer request that we thought should have been answered by now, when God asks you to let go of something or someone that you love, when it's not what you always pictured, even when it hurts, God loves you. And no matter how much it hurts, we can trust him. Amy Carmichael said this, "We cannot, Lord, thy purpose see, but all is well that's done by thee." That's faith. All is well that's done by thee. Jochebed trusted God, and she had an attitude of faith. And her faith then led her to do the right thing. James 2:22, her faith led her to do the right thing. Because Jochebed had chosen to have an attitude of faith, she was trusting in God, then she had the courage to do right. I read this, and this helps me. The Bible recognizes no faith that does not lead to obedience, nor does it recognize any obedience that does not spring from faith. The two are opposite sides of the same coin. And ladies, our attitude will determine what we do, where I go, the decisions I make. It starts with an attitude. Our attitude determines our actions. We choose our attitude in our heart, but we can't see a heart. All we see are the results of our choice. We see a frown, we see a grouch, we see angry outbursts, we see tears of frustration, we see a smile, we can see love in action, we can see a gentle spirit, we can see kind deeds, and it all begins with the attitude we choose inside. In verse 7 of Exodus 2, after Pharaoh's daughter had found baby Moses in the river, the Bible says, "Then said his sister, Moses' sister, to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?'" And I can't wait to get to heaven and ask Jochebed what she was doing at that moment. Was that your idea to send her to Pharaoh's daughter and ask for that baby back? Or was that all Miriam? You got a child like that that, no, that was all him. So maybe she'll say that was all her idea. I don't know. But can you imagine Jochebed hiding behind a tree watching her daughter talking to Pharaoh's daughter? She's probably standing back there, "That's my girl, that's my girl. Get him back, get him back. I can't wait to talk to Jochebed someday." But why do you think that little girl had the courage to go up to Pharaoh's daughter and try to save her own brother? If you look back in verse 4, the Bible says, "And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him." So Jochebed had made her right choice. She was following God and trusting God. And then look who was watching, her daughter. And this isn't my favorite part of life at all, but there's always somebody watching us. And I wish our decisions were just about me, but they're not. Somebody's watching, and somebody's watching the choice that you make. In the good times and the tough times, somebody's watching you. And our choice, our attitude, is making an impact on them. Jochebed's daughter, Miriam, she watched her mother choose the correct attitude. She watched her mother respond in faith and just trust God. And then Miriam did the same. It was no big deal to her. She was willing to do it because she watched her mama do it. Don't ever underestimate the influence of the choices that you make. Well, we know that Pharaoh's daughter said to Miriam, "Go." And the Bible said the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. I'm glad the Bible doesn't say the end right there, because that's not enough for me. After all that God did for Jochebed, she had to take her baby back to Pharaoh's daughter anyways. But God was far from finishing her story, but her testing wasn't over. Remember, months before Jochebed had ever gotten to this point in the story, she'd given birth to the little baby and right then made a choice to trust God. Her attitude was one of submission. She'd already placed Moses in God's hands. And Jochebed's then submission to Pharaoh's daughter and to God's will for Moses' life was a direct result of the attitude that she'd chosen to live with. James 2:22 says, "Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect?" I can claim to have faith in God and to trust him, but when I step out and obey him, then it's real. Our faith is made perfect as we obey. I read this quote, and it convicts me. When obedience to God contradicts what I think will give me pleasure, Think about that. When obeying God means I don't get what I want, when obeying God means I know what's going to happen and I know I don't want that, when obedience to God contradicts what I think will give me pleasure, let me ask myself if I love him. Let me ask myself if I love him. The Lord Jesus Christ himself demonstrated this perfectly. The Bible says in Philippians 2:8 that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You want to talk about the right attitude. Were the circumstances right or fair? No. He was the Son of God. But because it was God's plan that he pay for our sins, Jesus' attitude was submission and obedience to God's will. Our faith in God is only as real as our obedience to him. Think about that. We can talk about it all day long, and it's just talking. I have faith. The Lord's growing my faith. But it's only as real as our obedience then to God. Thirdly, Jochebed's attitude determined her outcome. I'm so glad that the end of the story is not in verse 10 when Jochebed gave her son over to Pharaoh's daughter. The end of the story is found in chapters 12 and 13 when we see God use Moses to lead his people out of bondage from the Egyptians. And guess what? Jochebed was in that group of people. That son that she had given up to God was the one that God used to lead her out of bondage. Her willingness to do right, even when it didn't seem fair, and when it seemed and really did cost her everything, her obedience led to her own freedom and to the freedom of all those people she lived with and loved. The choice is ours. Our attitude lies in our hands. The results lie in God's. As we choose right, God can bless. We'll try to make this a little easy to understand. Maybe you teach children or you're a mom. And tell me if this isn't true. When my kids have a good attitude, I always want to reward them for it, right? You want to recognize that. But when they have a bad attitude, they miss out on those rewards. The rewards or the recognition, they're mine. And they're mine to freely give. It just depends on their attitude. Many years ago, I'm going to tell a story about Isabel. When we were at Disneyland as a family, Disneyland was about 2 hours away from our house, a little over 2 hours, and she was 5 at the time, and we decided to have a family day at Disneyland, and we had planned for it, and she was having a grumpy day. Every once in a while, we have grumpy days, and she was having a real grumpy day. And that was a bummer, of course, for us. Here we've been planning for this special day, and she was in a mood. So before we got there, before we walked in, we sat her down and talked to her, told her we wanted to have a fun day, but it was going to depend on her attitude. Have you ever had that talk with your children? Well, we can provide all the fun, but it depends on your attitude, whether you will enjoy it or not. And so we talked to her, and then we began, and we went from ride to ride, and I'm telling you, the rides were just not fun enough. And she was hungry, and she was thirsty, and she was tired of walking, and then she wanted to walk and get out of the stroller. It just wasn't, nothing was good enough. And a few hours into it, my husband looked at me, and he said, "She's not having a good attitude. I think she learned this lesson if we just left." And my first thought was, leave? We did a lot of work to get here. I don't want to just pack it all up and leave. This was supposed to be an all-day trip. But he was right. And in the big picture, we couldn't just continue to bless her when she wouldn't change her attitude. So we sat her down and told her we're leaving. We're leaving Disneyland for the day, and someday we'd come back when she can have a good attitude. And we left. And I'm telling you, that made a little impression on that little girl's heart. For months after that, whenever I would say to her, "Isabel, make sure you're having the right attitude," immediately, because if we don't get to do fun stuff like go to Disneyland, right, Mom? Right. And it works the same way for us. The Bible says in Matthew 7:11, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" He has every resource, and he's so willing to bless us. But our attitude either halts God's blessings or it invites them. In Matthew 13, the Bible tells us that after a long journey of teaching and preaching, Jesus headed home to Nazareth. But when he got there, they didn't believe his teachings, and they didn't trust him. So listen to what the Bible says in verse 58. He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. He was ready to do the miracles. He was there. He had the power, but he didn't do it. And it was their fault. It was because of their attitude. Galatians 6:7 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Maybe one of the most convicting quotes I've ever heard, somebody said this a long time ago, if you don't like the crop that you are reaping, check the seed that you are sowing. So, convicting, what is it that we don't like? What don't you like in your marriage or in your children or in your job, in your relationships? Check what you're sowing in those areas. If you don't like the crop that you're reaping, check the seed that you're sowing. Jochebed reaped blessings of God, a family who served the Lord, freedom from the Egyptians, but she sowed an attitude of faith before that ever happened. Before we close, I want to read one more little story that I found. Whatever your circumstances are today, whatever it is that you're going home to, that maybe is weighing your heart down, we have to make a choice as we go back and walk into real life. And the only way we choose correctly is when we understand how very much we are loved by the God who's asking for our obedience. It's our job to obey, but God loves us and we can trust him in our obedience. During the terrible days of the Blitz, a father holding his small son by the hand ran from a building that had been struck by a bomb. In the front yard was a shell hole. Seeking shelter as quickly as possible, the father jumped into the hole and held up his arms for his son to follow. Terrified, yet hearing his father's voice telling him to jump, the boy replied, "But I can't see you." The father, looking up at the sky tinted red by the burning buildings, called to the silhouette of the son, "But I can see you. Jump." The boy jumped because he trusted his father. Real Christian faith enables us to face life or meet death not because we can see, but with a certainty that we are seen. Not that we know all the answers, but that we are known. That's the kind of God that we serve. That's the kind of God that wants you to trust him and obey him. Why do we love him? The Bible tells us because he loved us first. We love him because he first loved us. We don't have to understand it all now. I heard a lady say one time after she had just lost her baby girl and she was talking through this. She said, "I wrote down, because I know who, I am willfully unconcerned with the why." Because I know who, I am willfully unconcerned with the why. That's a choice. Whatever the what is that you're facing, whatever the why is that you wish you knew, what matters most is that we know who. We serve a perfect God, and we can trust him. So trust him enough to obey him like Jochebed did, and then leave the results to him. Let's pray. Lord, we love you, and the story of Jochebed is so convicting to me, and I need to grow in this area. I need to just obey you quicker because I know you love me. And Lord, I don't know what each of these ladies, what's sitting on their heart right now. There's something, and there's decisions to be made, and there's reality to face tonight as we go home, and there's back to routine. And yet we know we need to make improvements and changes and surrender. And Lord, we need to do it, and we need to have the faith to do it. I pray that you'd give me and each lady in this room the strength, the faith in you, the obedience to trust you and to do the next right thing in our life. We love you so much. In your name I pray. Amen.